the time. You know, I wrote something on Facebook this week. I had more responses on that thing than I think anything I've ever put up, including pictures. People always respond to pictures, but they don't respond to the word that much, you know. And basically what I said is God is not the cause or the author of hurricanes or bad things happening to people. And people just couldn't receive, some just couldn't receive that. Well, God is in control of everything. He's sovereign. That's what religion says. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible says. Stand up this morning. Amen. Turn over to Romans 8:31. We're going to talk about prayer today, actually, if I get there. Romans 8:31. Look what it says. Amen. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can what? Who can be against us? Praise God. If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five and say, God's for you. Hallelujah. Wow. God is for us, man. That is awesome. Amen. That is the good news of the gospel. God is for you. Amen. You know, what you believe about God sets you up to live an abundant life or just get through life. What you believe, what you have put in your heart determines the outcome in your life. And this thing on the sovereignty of God and the way it's been taught in religion is really a faith killer. It really is. And if we believe that God wills everything, good or bad, to happen to us, it gives us some temporary relief from confusion and condemnation, but in long term, it slanders God. It hinders our trust in God and leads us into passiveness. It really does. So I want to talk to you about the word sovereign, what it means. In the Bible, in the King James Version, it is used 303 times in the Old Testament of the New International Version, but it's always used in association with the word Lord, and is the equivalent of the King James Version, Lord God. Not a single one of these times is the word sovereign used in the manner in which religion uses it today. So religion has resulted in the invention of a new meaning of the word sovereign, which basically means God controls everything. And nothing can happen but what he wills or allow. However, that's not accurate in the Bible. The dictionary, listen to me, the dictionary defines sovereign as a paramount supreme, having supreme rank or power, independent of a sovereign state, and excellent. None of these definitions mean that God controls everything. Say what? Say what, Pastor? So it is assumed that since God is paramount or supreme, that nothing can happen without his approval. And that's not what the scripture teaches. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. So it clearly states that it's not the Lord's will for anyone to perish. But people still perish. But it's not God's will. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Wow. Amen. Relatively few people, you know, understand God and this sovereign thing. And if you have a revelation on it, it'll change your life forever. Right? Amen. Praise God. So people have to climb over roadblocks, really, because this sovereign thing gets in their way and their understanding. And I want to tell you, the cross of Jesus changed everything. God has a perfect plan for everybody. The Bible tells us that. But he doesn't make us walk that path. You have a choice. You have a choice. He told us what the right choice is. He said to choose life, Deuteronomy 30:19. Amen? Choose life. You have a choice. You have a choice in it. And typical teaching on the sovereign God puts Jesus in the driver's seat with us as passengers. Right? On that surface, it looks good, but really, you're in the driver's seat. Hello? And we're listening to what God tells us to do. Y'all still with me this morning? Man has been given the authority over his own life, but he must have the Lord's direction to succeed. Man has been given authority over his life, but he's got to have the Lord's direction to succeed. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. God created us dependent upon him, and our independence is that root of all of our problems. So we depend on him. Amen. James 4:7, what does it say? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. As it wasn't bad enough for man to try to run his affairs independently of God and his standards, it's been made worse by the religious teaching that says all of our problems are actually blessings from God. How many's ever heard that? All my problems are actually blessings from God. That is the farthest thing from the truth. God is nothing but good, and he is good all the time. Most of the problems is like that guy who packed his lunch that day, and he was going, and you know, he came to work, and he was there with his friend, and he opened up his lunch. He said, "Man, I've got bologna for the third time this week." And she said, "Well, tell your wife to pack something else." He said, "My wife, I'm not married. I pack my own lunches." Most of the problems we have are from our own choices. God had nothing to do with it, but we blame God for everything, good, bad. It's God. Hello. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. This verse makes it clear that some things are from God and some things are from the enemy. And we must submit to the things that are of God and resist the things that are from the enemy. The word resist means to actively fight against. Amen? But some people have this saying, well, que sera, sera. God's in control. Whatever will be will. Doris Day. That's it. That's not true. God has given you authority as a believer. You have authority in your life. Amen. God's got a plan for you. Just stop resisting that plan. Praise God. It's a good plan. Wow. And there are people who say, well, God puts this sickness on me to teach a lesson. Well, that is a lie from hell. If it's God's will, it's God's will for me to be sick so I can have a great testimony when he heals me. If it's God's will for you to be sick, then never go to the doctor. Just die. It's God's will. That's stupid. Turn to somebody and say, that is stupid. I'm sorry. Is this too plain this morning? Sometimes I'm not plain enough. As a pastor, you know, you have the challenge because, you know, you want to walk around people and treat them kindly and love them and show the love of Jesus, but sometimes you feel like slapping people. I'm sorry, you know. Andrew says, how stupid can you get and still breathe? And people just suck into this teaching because it pacifies them. It tries to help them explain stuff in their life. And, you know, God caused this and God caused that. And God had nothing to do with it. But we put God in this picture of a bad God and a good God all at the same time. I'm telling you, God's nothing but good. And God is nothing but good all the time. Amen. All the time. Don't get sucked into that kind of theology and thought because it'll kill you. Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good and bad. He went about doing good sometimes. Once in a while, he shows up and he does good. Hallelujah. No, what does he say? how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing, everybody say, good. Everybody say it again. Good. And doing what? And healing how many? All who were oppressed of who? The devil. You know, there is an enemy out there, folks. Hello? There is an enemy. Now, we don't give him any authority in our life. We resist him. Amen? We have authority over him. As a believer, we have authority over him. Jesus had authority. You have authority. You got to take your authority. We resist him, but there is an enemy out there. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have. Have what? Who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? The enemy does. Death is not from God. It's from the enemy. Bless you, man. Amen. Wow. Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. It was not God who oppressed them with sickness. Man, I just, you know, y'all, you understand this? Do you get this? Do you understand what I'm saying here? God is in, yes, is God supreme? Absolutely. Does God control everything? No. Mm-mm. There's natural things happen on this world because we live in a fallen world. The Bible says that the whole earth is groaning in Romans at this time. What is it groaning for? For the manifestation of the sons of God. When we finally stand up and take our authority that God has given us. And most believers and most churches, you won't hear that taught. You won't hear it preached. You'll hear, oh, it's God's will for you to be sick. It's God's will for you to be poor. It's God's will for you to be this and be that. No, you need to understand what the Word says. Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching right now to you. Well, what about God in the Old Testament? In those instances, he smote people with sickness and plagues. A lot I say about that, but we don't live under the Old Testament. That was a curse. And the New Testament says that, guess what? Jesus took the curse so that you and I might receive the blessing. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I am no longer under a curse. I am under the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Don't take the curse. Don't take the curse. God freed you from the curse so that you might live in the blessing of the Lord and the goodness of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You live in that area and don't take anything else but what God has that is good. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't take somebody else's offense. It amazes how people get so easily offended. You know, most church fights start over people's offense because they take it, and sometimes they don't even know what they're taking. They don't even know what they're getting. You have to be offended, you have to take offense. You have to take it on you. Where are the mature believers today? When somebody says, I'm offended about that, they'll stand up and say, you know, listen, you have no right to be offended. Hello? You have no right. Why are you offended? You have no right to be offended. You need to be walking in love. We don't walk in offense. Offense is a bait of Satan. If you want to take that bait, you take it. It'll ruin your life. It'll cause you to be up and down all the time, in and out, emotional, and living on your emotions. No, take what God has for you. He's got love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Turn to somebody and say, well, he's really preaching to you now. Don't take it. Why would you want to take it? Why would you want to take something that the enemy throws out and says, oh, yeah, eat that up, baby. It'll cause you misery. You'll get on Facebook, start sharing all kinds of negative things. And all your life will be all over the place just because you take offense. Don't take it. Turn to somebody and say, I choose not to be offended. No matter what somebody says to me, I'm going to walk in love. Turn to somebody and say, I'm bigger than offense. I'm bigger than offense. You are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:13, he took the curse so I may receive the blessing. All the curses laid upon Jesus so you can receive all the blessed. Turn to somebody, I am so blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I want to talk about prayer this morning, but I had to cover the sovereignty thing because if you don't understand this, you won't understand prayer. And so much prayer is just religious bunk. Now, I don't know about you, but when I pray, My desire is to see results. Most time people get to prayer, you know, they want to call prayer meetings, and it's just gossip meetings. You know, there's an airplane out there that I had. It's called KIS. Anybody know what KIS is? Keep it simple. The designer of that plane wanted to design a plane that was simple. Keep it simple. God wants us to keep things simple. Amen? Not hard. When we planted the church, God said, keep it simple. Have a great church, good teaching ministry. People come in, get refreshed. Amen. Have a good children's ministry. Children come in, they'll learn about the grace of God instead of the Old Testament law. They'll learn about that Jesus loves them so much instead of Jesus about to bop you over the head. Have a youth ministry that kids are growing up under the grace teaching instead of wanting to rebel under law because they hear so much law, and law is the ministry of death and not life. We're still believing for some youth people here to raise up youth ministry. You know, have people here that are open to receive people that may not be the same way they are. Let grace flow in our lives. Oh. You know what? You can even be weird and come to Discovery Church. Isn't that awesome? Turn to somebody and say, that's awesome. Say, I fit right in. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I love you guys. I don't know, man. God, I'm on a roll this morning. Amen. But I'm amazed how many people believe that God is here to punish them, that God is mad at them, and they're not experiencing the abundant life. Amen. If you don't have a clear understanding of the new covenant and the nature of God, you won't live in that abundant life God has for you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 20. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 20. Let's look at this for just a moment. But as God is faithful, how many know God is faithful? Turn to somebody and say, God is not fickle. God is faithful. He is so faithful. Hallelujah. He is. Our word to you was not yes and maybe. Yes and no. Yes and sometimes. Our word, Paul said, our word to you is just not yes and no. That's the way people live when they don't have a clear understanding of God and your authority that God's given you. He stripped that authority from the enemy and he gave it to the believer. You have that authority. You have that authority. And he said that his promises to us, based on that authority he gave us, is not just yes and no. Sometimes maybe, sometimes not, right? For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was what? Yes. Yes. God is always yes. God wants to bless you more than you even want to be blessed. His desire is to bless you, to cause you to rise up, to cause you to be the head and not the tail. That is God's desire. He wants you to be successful in every avenue of life. Amen. Go on. For all. There's that Greek word again. You know what the Greek word for all is? All. Amen. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him we say amen to the glory of God through us. God says, I want to manifest these promises through you, and my promises are yes always. It's not yes and no, or yes or maybe, or yes, I'll bless you, and tomorrow I won't. No, it's always yes. It's based on the covenant of Jesus Christ and the cross, and that covenant says it is always yes. What is prayer, Pastor? It's communing with God and seeing a manifestation of those results. Of that communion with God, when we commune with him, we should expect and believe and know that we're going to receive because his promises are always yes. Yes. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be what? Given to you. But you got to ask the right way. James says most people ask amiss. Remember, I talked about that a few weeks ago. I said, if you're a single guy, that's not a problem, right? Ask amiss, right? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks will receive. Those who seek will find. To one who knocks, it will be opened. When we ask, we are supposed to receive. When you ask, you are supposed to receive. If that's not happening, we got to find out why and adjust our asking. Something's wrong. I believe when I pray, I get results. Wow. When you pray, do not look at Matthew 6:5. Matthew 6:5. Jesus gave us some examples. He talked about how not to pray. How not to pray. When you pray, he knows he says when you pray, so we should pray. Do not be like the hypocrites. They love. You ever know somebody that loves to pray? I know people that love to pray. They pray and they pray and they pray and they pray. And you know what? Those people don't get any results. It's not how much you pray, it's the effect of your prayer. James said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's not those hours spent in prayer, it's that effective prayer that you do pray. And I'll tell you about, I don't know about you, but I'm all about praying these effective prayers. I want to see results in my life and in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. They love to pray that others may see them. They're so spiritual. Boy, I've heard that before. Oh, they pray for hours. They're so spiritual. You know what? You can pray for months at a time. I knew a guy locked himself away for 21 days and kicked his wife out of the tent because he had this Messiah complex. They were living in a tent, just married, brought her to a tent, living in the tent, spent in the tent for 21 days praying, had no effect, and he didn't do any good. Yeah. Came out of his divorce, just about, brother. He said that others may see them, but they have their reward. This is one example of what prayer is not. Hypocrites love to pray in order to be seen or heard or thought to be spiritual. Pharisees, like, you know, they use those kind of words, oh, Father. And they change their vernacular and their voice, and they get into the King James, bless thy servant, Lord. Well, if you know you're already blessed, you don't have to ask to be blessed. It's what you know. It's the truth. What you know. The truth sets you free, but it's what you know. Know the truth, and it will set you free, right? Amen. Oh, God, please move in this situation. Well, if you don't know God's already moved, you're going to beg him to move. And most people are in the begging stage and not in the receiving stage. God doesn't want you to be a beggar. God called you to be a receiver. Amen. You're not a beggar, you're a receiver. If you're born again, a believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're no longer a beggar, you're a receiver of everything Christ has given to us. Hallelujah! Amen! Woo! Yes, praise God. Most people are just begging God, wear themselves out, begging God, trying to move God, and they don't realize God's already moved, provided everything that we have need of in Jesus Christ. The only thing we need to do is receive it and know how to receive it. Praying wrong gets wrong results. Much of what we call prayer actually offends God. I'm up there, look, Jesus up there. Hey, Lord. Hey, Father. Hey, Dad. Look at that boy down there wearing himself out. He is. Doesn't he know I already provided all this stuff? How long has he been doing up to this now? Oh, you know, he's been up to this for about 5 hours, son. What is wrong with him? Doesn't he understand my new covenant? Doesn't he understand what I did on the cross for him? Yeah, that's not, son. Well, he needs to understand because, you know why, he's wearing me out. Prayer always has to line up with his word. We pray out of the promises of God, and the promises of God are always yes and amen. Prayers are command, not just a hope or a wish. Prayers are commands, not just a hope or wish. Hello? God promises that we can love him because he first loved us. One of the biggest things that you have to understand if you're going to get results in prayer is you've got to understand God loves you, first of all. You've got to understand God loves you in spite of yourself at times. God still loves you, and that love never changes. 1 John 4:19. Most important of what we believe is that he loved me first. Hallelujah. What does it say? We love him because why? Because he first loved us. Amen. Amen. You've got to understand it. If we believe that, we also believe that, we will rest in the promises that he made because we know that he loves us. And Jesus knew that he was loved by the Father. God said, first thing he said before he did everything, when Jesus was baptized, came up out of the water, the devil sinned, and the voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You got to think, most people think they got to do something in order for God to love them. God loves you in spite of yourself and in spite of your faults, failures, or sin. God still loves you. That should give you confidence right there. Wow, God loves me. Amen. He does. You are the apple of his eye. John knew it. John said to the disciple, said, "Hey, I am the disciple that Jesus loves." He knew he loved all the other ones, but he had rhema on it. It was to him. He knew that God loved him. So if you don't believe that you're loved by God, we will not believe in Jesus' finished work. We also have no reason to pray, because God doesn't love me. He's mad at me. I've offended him. Wow. Prayers are always motivated by love. Prayer is authentic, straight from our heart to God. He wants to converse with us. We can hear directly from God. We can clear our minds, get the clutter out, and prayers will be effective and they will work. Amen? Hallelujah. When we are praying, when we go to God in prayer, most of your prayer time should be thanksgiving. Just thanking him for what he's already done. And then you kind of slip that petition in there. Hello? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your power. Thank you, God, you already met my need. In Jesus' name, thank you again. The highest form of faith is thanksgiving. The highest form of faith is thanksgiving. Begin to thank him, amen, and understand that God has already provided for you everything you need, and you thank him for it. When somebody gives you a gift, I hope you're courteous enough to say thank you. When one of these days somebody's going to come up and say, "Hey, Pastor, I got $1 million I want to give to the church," you know what I'm going to say? Thank you. I'm going to receive it. I pray it's one of you. Maybe two or three of you. Prayer should be full of thanksgiving instead of complaining. Oh, when we praise him, we minimize the situation and we glorify God. Most people do it the other way around. They glorify the situation and minimize God. Amen? Look at Matthew 6:6. When you pray, Jesus said, "Go into your closet, shut the door, and pray to the Father in secret. Your Father who sees in secret is going to award you how? Openly." You don't have to just make a big show of prayer. Amen. He said, go into that place and just begin to thank him and praise him. Amen. And get the word out and stand on that word and say, "Thank you, Lord. Your word says, and I declare it, it is done, and I give you praise for it." When I pray for people, I don't pray long prayers. Look at Matthew 6:5-7. The hypocrites love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen of others. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions like the heathen. They think they will be heard for many what? Many words. Some people probably think, you know, "Pastor, you're not too spiritual, because when you pray for me, you didn't pray long enough." We trip ourselves up when we get into these long prayers. It erodes what God's already done. When I pray for people, I usually walk up to them and say, "Hey, brother, love you today. Father, I command life in his body today. Thank you for that life flowing in his body in the name of Jesus. He is healed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. In Jesus' name, hallelujah." Amen. Glory. And walk away. And then most people think, "Well, Pastor wasn't too spiritual. He didn't spend very long in prayer." Well, why should I? I believe God did the work. I released life. I released authority into his body. I believe God did the work. You don't have to. I know people grab hold of people and shake them. I've seen them do that. Like a machine gun. Anybody ever see that? Come on, anybody been around that long enough? Their heads bobbing up and down all over the place and they're shaking them, you know. God's got to be laughing, man. God's got to be up there. Yeah, look at that dude, man. Yeah, that's where Elvis came up with "I'm all shook up." He saw somebody do that. Amen. Prayer does not have to be long to get results. Most people miss it because they do not understand their authority they have in Jesus. They wear themselves out just trying to get God to do something. Therefore, prayer lacks faith because they talk themselves right out of what they were believing for. powerful prayers rest in the assurance that God loves us. John 11:41-45. Powerful prayers rest in the assurance that God loves us. God wants to bless us. It's God's desire to bless us. Amen. John, are you guys with me this morning? John 11:41-45. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said what? Father, I thank you that you have what? So it started with praise. Here he is at Lazarus' tomb, a dead man's tomb, already been dead how many days? And what does his sister say? Lord, he already stinks. He had that objection that come against him. So what did Jesus do? Did he stand there for hours, moan and groan and carry on? And oh my gosh, what are we going to do, Martha? No. First thing he did, he says, Lord, I thank you. What? I thank you that what? You have heard me. A statement of praise and faith. Lord, I thank you. You've heard me. Not only this, look at what he says. And I know that you, oh, this is good, guys. You've got to get this. Father, he had such confidence in God, his Father, that he knew that God heard him, number one, and that he always heard him, number two. Jesus knew his place of authority. And the Bible says we are the sons of God. The Bible says as he is, so are we in this present age. As he is, so are we. You have the same authority that Jesus had. You need to use it. You need to have the same confidence in the Father's love for you that Jesus had. And Jesus said, I know that you hear me. Not only do I know that you hear me, God, but you always hear me. And he gave thanks for that. Because some of the people who are standing by said this, that they may believe that you sent me. He didn't have to say it. He knew it, but he said it because of the people standing by. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! Come forth. Let me ask you, how long did it take him to say that? Gave thanks to the Father, said, Lord, I know that you always hear me. Thank you, Lord. Then he said, Lazarus, come forth. How long did that take? And really it's shorter in the Greek because it's just kumath. Much shorter. What happened? And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes on his face and was wrapped in the clothes. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Woo! Man, Jesus knew that position that he had in the Father. Hallelujah. He knew what he had, and here comes him. Here he comes out of the grave. Amen. From God's perspective, praying using many words has no value. Many people believe the longer they pray, the better the prayer is, and more God will answer. And if I can get two or three others to agree with me in long prayers, and we pray more, and we get a whole lot of people praying, God surely's got to move. Jesus often prayed short prayers. Do you realize that? Look at Mark 4:39. Mark 4:39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, what did he do? Jesus wasn't the cause of the storm. Hello. That some people said out there, oh, God caused this. He's causing this, caused people to repent. Well, the Bible says that, you know, people repent because of the goodness of God. Change your mind. Amen? Jesus didn't cause the storm. He stilled the storm. You got authority to speak to those storms. As Holly said, we've spoken to storms. They have gone away. Amen. Then he said, arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great. How long did it take to say, peace be still? Hello? Well, let me show you another. Matthew 12:13. Matthew 12:13. Praise God. Matthew 12:13. Then he said to the man, he had the withered hand. He said what? Stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. How long did it take for him to say, stretch out your hand? Just a few seconds. Prayers of authority. Mark 5:38-42. Mark 5:38-42. Look at another one. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. Now that would stop most of us there. There was a funeral, and they were crying, this little girl, and they were just carrying on, and most of it is just falling right into that. Started crying. But when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is what? The child is what? But sleeping. He began to speak a word of faith. Folks, you got to know who you are in Jesus. You got to know the word of God. And you got to start speaking that word of faith and not what you see. And not what other people may be telling you. Or what you might hear. Or how bad the doctor may say it is. You stand on the word of God. You speak the word of faith. You allow that faith to rise up in your heart. And you command that thing to leave. You take your authority. Amen. Down in Florida, they got all this traffic. I can see a police officer down there, and all of a sudden there's a wreck. Then the police officer's standing there, and he sees this wreck, and all people are gathering around, and all of a sudden he gets on his cell phone, and he calls his captain and says, Captain, there's a wreck. And the captain says, what? There's a wreck. What do I do? What do you mean what do you do? Well, what do I do? I don't know what to do. He said, son, take your authority. Hangs up the phone. A police officer knows he has authority. He can stop the traffic just holding up his hand. Hello? He knows his authority. Know your authority. And they ridiculed him. That would have really stopped us. Folks, I'm telling you what, anything you do for Jesus, you're going to get ridiculed. Anything you do for Jesus, people are going to write about you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to point fingers at you. They're going to do all kinds of things. You stay in love. Hello? Don't let it vex you. Just stay in love. Amen? Are you listening to me this morning? That would have stopped most people. But when he had put them all outside, he says, that's enough of you. He put them outside. He took the father and the mother and the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, what? Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl rose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Hallelujah. Power of authority and the prayer of authority. When you're praying the prayer of authority, it makes a difference in your life. You will get results. When you know your authority, you know who you are, and you release those prayers. I'm trying, sister. Come on. It's just the receiving part. So, you know, it's amazing. You know, you can preach and you see some people, they're just really, they're soaking it in. And some people look like, you know. Get a rhema on it. Because it'll change your life. It'll change your family. It'll change your perspective of life. You'll live a much happier life knowing your authority, knowing that you're loved by God, not getting caught up in religious stuff. That's why I hate religion. Religion is such a killer. It will kill you. People get in that religious stuff. They start doing this and they start doing that. Get that crap out of your mouth and get Jesus and the word in your mouth. Amen. Start saying good things about people. Start believing the best in people. Somebody looks at you crossway, don't you take that offense. You just stand up in love and say, they must be having a bad day. I'm going to have a good day. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. Amen. They must be having a bad day. You know what? It ain't going to affect me. I'm having a good day, and I'm still going to have a good day. You get into all that stuff and that religious stuff and that churchy crap. I am, brother. Praise God. It is. It's just a bunch of crap. I'm sorry. It is. You know, that's why I loved about our church, because, you know, we haven't had people here that cause any problems, any none of that. It's been so awesome because they're grace people and they understand grace and they walk in grace and they understand love. And it really makes it easier, Pastor. And besides that, when I get to heaven, I get to give an account for you. And I want to give a good account on account of you. Amen. I want to say, whoa, they were awesome, Jesus. They were so awesome. Amen. Praise God. You know, I don't have to get up and say, oh, Lord, they were stinkers. They're always upset, always running their mouth, always causing issues. Jesus knows it already, but we haven't had any of that. And that's what's so good about this place. Amen. We're not perfect, and that's what's so good about it. And I'm not perfect, and that's what's so good about it. Can I give you a couple more scriptures today, and I'll be finished. Can I give you, what is God's will for me? God's will is his word. Romans 8, 26, 27. Romans 8, 26, 27. We talked about this a little bit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our what? For we do not know what we should pray. Has anybody ever been in that situation before? I have. Don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes what? Intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hey Jude, chapter 1, verse 20, 21. Hey Jude, chapter 1, verse 20, 21. You know I had to get a song out here today, right? But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. Keeping yourself in the love of God. You know how you can tell when somebody's not keeping themselves in the love of God? Because they haven't been praying in the Spirit. If they're out of sorts, you know what's something going on. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:4. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Praise God. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Amen. So when we're praying in the Spirit, we're edifying ourselves, but also we are praying in the will of God. Amen? That's what Romans tells us. We pray in the will of God when we pray in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. If you want to have some perfect prayers, pray in the Spirit. Amen. And then pray with your authority. Take your position that Christ has given you. He said, I have given all authority unto you. You have authority of a believer. Amen. Take that authority. Pray in that Spirit. Rise up. Take your position in Christ that he's given you and rebuke the winds and the waves. Peace be still. It might not be a physical wave. It may be something else that is a wave coming against you. But stand up in your authority, take it, and speak against it. Amen? Come on, stand with me this morning. Praise God. Give God some praise today. Hallelujah. Amen. I know I was a little long-winded today, guys, but I had to get this sovereignty thing out because I want you to understand this false teaching that's out there that says God is in control of everything. God is nothing but good, and you've got to get that in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit, man, that God is nothing but good, and that God has nothing but good for me and my family, and I'm not going to receive anything else but good. Turn to somebody and say, I won't receive anything else but good. Good for my family. Good for my home. Good for my job. I receive good. Nothing but good, because God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen. That's not a cliche. That's the truth. Give God some praise on it. Amen. I want you to do this. I want you to turn to somebody and say, I am the disciple. Turn to him. Look him in the face. Say, I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. Woo! Now turn to somebody else on the other side and do the same thing. Say, I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. How much? Mike Shea says, this much. Amen. Listen, when you leave this place today, you leave encouraged. You don't get caught up in things. You let the Lord fight your battles. He's really good at it. He's really good at it. You just stay in love, walk in love. Amen. God's got nothing but good for you today. If you're in need of prayer, we'll agree with you in prayer today. Amen. We'll receive and believe that you are healed today. Whatever you have need of, we're here to pray for you. But I'm going to tell you, you've got the victory this morning. Amen. More victory than you know, probably. Amen. Because Jesus has supplied it. Be encouraged today. Have a Jesus-filled week. Tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Would you do that? Praise God. Shake hands with some people. Tell them you love them today. Praise God. God's good. Give him some praise. Amen.